to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 61, with Paul, Barry, and
upstairs. Yeah, so, hello listeners. Today's topic is called the Armies of the Empire, Mark II, Warmaster.
Revolution version.
Yeah.
We, a long time ago, a long time ago, second episode, we did a review.
That's our first Armour review.
Yeah, because it's the baseline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which everything else is calibrated from. So we did Empire, and now things have changed quite a lot.
Yeah.
So it's time to revisit it, see how they work in Revolution,
and
see what changes have been made from the Rules Committee and how that affects stuff.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be doing today. Mm-hmm. It's as hot as the devil in England today.
I'm afraid so.
Man, it is hot in Paul's garage under the bright lights. It's been a bit of a weird week, a bit of a miserable week, really, with the news. So, no political stuff today.
Yeah.
No political stuff. But what have you been doing since our last show, Mr. Paul, sir?
So, games-wise, I mean, obviously, being a new dad, but I had a game of Warmaster against Rodders last night at the club.
Oh, good.
And that was Empire, using the same list that I played today, and that was against his Beastmen.
Okay, so maybe we'll talk about the army list first, and then we'll talk about your game at the end.
Yeah,
so
you can discuss. Because it will give context between the two games, actually.
Yeah. And I just played Magic. I went 4-0 on Monday, beating the guy that finished 16th in the GP, Bologna.
Ooh.
And Matt, the guy who finished, who did top 8 last year in London.
So, brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I'm 4-0, so... Magic's good. If you play Magic for 5 years, you'll get good.
Get good.
And spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
Just get good and spend a lot of money. $1,000 a deck. We were playing Modern, that's why it's so expensive. Anyway, so that's it. We're going to crack on with the game. We got like about half an hour for this podcast because we recorded like a 2.5 hour set of videos.
Yeah.
And then the next week's half term, so there ain't going to be nothing next week, sorry.
Yeah, no.
So, I'm away, so, it's my wife's 40th.
So what links to this...
And you're coming, Paul, apparently?
It's going to be difficult. Isn't it?
I did expect you to be difficult with a, like, three-week-old.
I don't know. Like,
she said, he accepted straight away. I said, maybe he hasn't talked to Alan yet.
Or maybe it might be just me, I don't know.
So, typical Paul. I'm going. Oh, shit, what have I said? So, should we do the battle review? No, let's do the army review, then the battle report.
And so, the fluff, we don't worry about it. You like listen to
that. I used to like your fluff bombs. But
it's just repeating what we already said.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Basically, they're Teutonic, like medieval...
Yeah, Germanic.
Medieval
empire. Okay, so the core units, first one is Halberdiers. Infantry 336, 45 points. So we'll glaze over the regular stuff. But
what's the minimum? Four.
Minimum two, so that'd be four in 2,000 points.
And you took six.
I did today, yes.
Which I think's brave, because as infantry go, they ain't great.
No, they are fairly costed.
Well, they're the baseline.
for three hit infantry with six up armour and three attacks. Pretty standard stuff.
They're things that horses want to run down.
Yeah, they like. What is their role in the game? They're not heavy enough infantry to dig other stuff out of defended scenery normally, nor are they good enough infantry to stand up to cavalry. They did a bit in this game that we played in a second, but they need a mass of them to stand up.
Or something we'll talk about in a second that helps.
The benefit they halberdiers get is skirmishers, which is kind of when you're talking about halberdiers, you kind of talk about skirmishers as well.
They're cheap. And the skirmishers, how much are they? 25?
So the skirmisher stand is 25 points individually, and gives you four attacks, and with the halberdiers you'd have six armour. So basically, a change of Warmaster Revolution is skirmishers can't be attached to flagellants.
Because, in my mind, even though we're crossing across different continents and countries and stuff, skirmishers are like Sharps rifles, yeah? In my mind, like they're like elite kind of running around in the hills, guerrilla warfare type things, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't go with fanatics because fanatics are mindless loons.
Yeah, no, I mean it just doesn't fit. Kind of they're the elite soldiers, and they don't go yet. They don't want to be formed up with obviously the crazy non-army people who are just mental,
the mentalists without shoes.
Yeah. So, or shirts, some of them.
That is one of the changes that's been made.
Yeah.
Now they cannot go with flagellants.
So I suppose you could theoretically put skirmishers with crossbowmen. I don't really know why you would, because they won't have the armour either. Then
do they get the gun?
No. So I don't really. get that.
Okay, but what it did allow you to do is a unit of a brigade of four halberdiers was the equivalent of more than five, because there were 16 stands.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is kind of strolls into army build, but if you're going to use skirmishers, if you take a brigade of four halberdiers and put them all with skirmishers...
In column,
then you've got a different beast altogether, and that is deep enough to take cavalry charges.
The front line attacks with an extra...
Yes, so...
And I questioned, because we'll talk a little bit about what happened in the game. You can watch the game. I advise you to watch the game, because we can't go through it all.
Yeah.
But you took off the skirmish stands first. Is that in the rules that you have to do that? Because they're the last ones you want to take off.
So skirmishers never count as part of the unit's formation. So no wound penalties if they're taken off. They fight as a unit and can be removed as a unit casualty if the player wishes. They never
so you should take them off last because they've got four attacks.
You could, unless they. Yeah, I mean, personally, I know. I don't know. It depends what you're going to get out of the unit. Yeah, because they can't be on their own. If you follow, you can't have a unit of skirmishers on their own.
A stand.
Yeah, they could be wiped out. I don't think you can have a situation where the unit's dead, three stands gone, you take the whole unit, and you're left with the skirmishers. It's something to query about that.
I don't know. It's never played like that before. They're normally with the fanatics going mad, and charging everything. Mm-hmm. So that brigade was pretty meaty.
Yeah,
and it took a bit of a spoiler. It took headlong mass cavalry charge across its whole front twice to kill it.
Yep. It's the hammer to the it's the anvil to the hammer.
Like, unfortunately, the hammer was absent.
Yeah, kinda. But that's what it's meant to do. Yeah. That's the way I see it. Anyway,
I like that brigade. I thought that was
that's how the choice there, and the skirmishers go into halberdiers. That's how they're a bit different.
But it does push the price of a halberdier up to 70.
So if you're taking 45 and 25, that would be 70. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you get four stands. It's tricky because four stands is not like anything else in the game, is it? Yeah, it's a bit.
No. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It gives you as many wounds as ogres.
Yeah.
Yeah, over different stands, but yeah.
So the next unit, shall I just rattle?
Yeah, go on, sir.
The next core unit is crossbowmen, 3-1-3, three attacks, one shooting, three hits, no armour, for 55 points. You must take two, so you end up taking. You must take four. Now, here's a change, because again, this is how Revolution's changed it, is handgunners, which are exactly the same, except they give them neg one on their missile fire for 65 points. They have basically 10 points, they get armour piercing. A War Master Revolution has changed the list where you can count two handgunner units as crossbowmen core.
And pay the difference.
So the difference. So there, you can, in a core minimum core of missile troops, you could have two crossbowmen and two handgunners.
Okay, and the handgunners were significantly better taking the charge than the crossbowmen because of the armour piercing.
Yeah, in the example Barry's thinking in our game, they did shoot very well. And that negative one really mattered quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. Turns you into orcs.
Yeah.
Instead of silver helms. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice, because you never saw them on the pitch, because you'd already had four crossbowmen, you couldn't afford any more.
No, exactly.
So, and you certainly couldn't afford to pay 65, what are they, 65?
65 points.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah. So that means that generally you see two crossbows, two handgunners. It feels nicer. Yeah. It feels an improvement.
Yeah, that's a lovely, it's a nice change. Jim's, I think, originally.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me, sir.
We talk about there the core infantry. The other last infantry unit is the flagellants, which have 5-3-0 for three, and they're 70 points, and they have the standard berserker style flagellant rules. They're the example that others are based off. The unit must charge, must pursue, can't be driven back by shooting, can't be confused then because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
don't suffer by terror.
So they do put out a good amount of damage, but they will run themselves to death.
No matter what they charge, unless they're lucky enough to hit something in the flank, there won't be enough of them left to matter the second time. what I've been doing is I've tried them in as a second wave. Basically, I'd make a better infantry brigade of two handgunners in front with flagellants in the second row. So when the handgunners drop, the flagellants then are the tough second line, if you want to tempted on to do a lot of attacks. I mean, five attacks basic is lovely.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, it took an entire brigade, four units of silver helms to take away the handgunners and enough of the flagellants to make them combat ineffective.
Yeah.
But that was a whole brigade of silver helms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. So, yeah, so what's next in the list?
So we spoke about skirmishers already. So knights, cavalry unit, 3-3-4 ARP armour for 110 points, no min or maximum, though special rules.
So you could do your own cheesy knight build.
Yes, you could. Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, that's normally, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, yeah, they're, again, they're like the standard weighing in knight unit, heavy cavalry unit. You know, if luck's with you, they can be fantastic, like most things. That 4-up armour save can save a lot of bouncing. And on the charges, you know, again, it's dicey. You know, like, you're looking, you know, best off when they maximise so much into a flank that it doesn't matter about the tax coming back.
Yeah, or if they go in mob-handed.
Yeah.
But you only have three, so it's more of like a counterpunch rather than a...
In that list, I only had three. I'd taken one of the units out. Again, we're talking about army lists here.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's a little bit... But... That's fine, we have to discuss what we did.
Yep.
So, knights, they're good.
Yeah. The second unit of cavalry.
Are they the best in the game, knights? Mm. Points value?
Tricky to... I don't know, I think for some of the more expensive cavalry that hits a bit harder, like Coldblood Knights or Grail Knights or something, I don't know, I think that they just have that little slight edge over them. I always feel a bit... I don't know, I always feel like I almost would rather have Boar Boys, you know, follow.
No.
I like there's more attacks than...
Oh, I do like... But then you could just take chariots. They're the same as Boar Boys, aren't they? So what I did do today is I ran a list with 10 units of Silverhounds. We probably haven't discussed this. If you haven't seen the video, that... So I maximised on the knights.
Yeah.
And basically the whole game was me just running around trying to kill stuff with knights.
Yeah. Yep.
Fair sport. I remember in Warhammer Fantasy 6th edition, there were definitely builds of elves that were just all knights.
Yeah, all mounted.
Just all knights.
Yeah.
All knights. So that's what it's themed on.
So the second unit of Empire Cavalry is Pistoliers.
They do so well today, didn't they?
God, they're bad games for them today.
So they,
one
did
range...
they get one order and then a blunder and
yeah,
then that was it?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. And that was them for the rest of the game. Yeah, sadly. Anyway, they have one range. Now, the Pistoliers are surprisingly tough. Actually, they have 5-up armor. They're 95 points, and they have a shooting attack. So when they get charged by stuff, they fire at it, and they've got 5-up armor. You know, they're surprisingly
with armor piercing or no armor.
No armor piercing, but they have the 360 arc around. Yeah, but yeah, say like they
reduced range.
Reduced range 15.
Okay.
They are surprising for that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm always surprised when they hit them. But in the same way, I'm surprised when Skeleton Cavalry are 5-up save, because you don't think they do. And then you hear them go, 5-up,
Yeah, but they don't have the attacks.
They don't have any attacks, no.
So, I mean, I've seen Pistoliers win spike combats. Like, in a recent game against Rodders, a whole bunch of them got charged by Chaos Hounds and beat them.
Well, they should beat
them. Yeah.
Unless it's on the flank.
Yeah. No, it was in the front. It was
Chaos Hounds ain't very good in the front. Right, what's next? So, Pistoliers, they're expensive, though.
Yes.
95?
95 points. Mm-hmm.
95 points.
Yeah, yeah. So,
if you want something of everything...
Yeah.
I don't even take Reavers anymore.
Oh, okay. The next unit in the list is Hellblaster, which is artillery. Now, this has had some rules changes.
Yeah.
Has either 8 attacks at range 10, 4 attacks at range 20, or 2 attacks at range 30. And it's for 50 points with the single gun. And now the rules have changed in that they've taken away, basically, the minor misfire result doesn't do anything, as in doesn't affect it at all. The attacks.
Because what it tended to, you roll 8 dice.
Yeah.
You hit with 4.
You get
roll
two
ones. You end up hitting with 2.
This is rubbish. It's useless. Yeah. So that was a necessary change in Warmaster to get. Sorry, Revolution.
So you just ignore 1-1 or 2-1.
Yeah, so if you result, basically, it misfire. You count up the number of ones you've rolled and have a misfire chart.
Right.
If you've rolled either 1-1 or 2-1s, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the 3-1s.
Yeah, 3-1s means it's misfire. You don't do any shoots.
And 4-1 to blows up.
You blow up, but you do cause damage against what's charging you as well. You 6 hits are automatically inflicted. At -1 armor.
Mm-hmm. Seems a chip. It's certainly got a place now. You only run 1 because you like something of everything.
Yeah.
I would have a brigade with 2.
Well, that's you.
I bet Janice would too.
I'll explain my reasons. You know, like behind my build. You know, coming up.
Mm-hmm. So it needed something. Because
it wasn't. You couldn't take it. Before. You could, but it didn't do anything. Yeah, you know, like its threat was never statistically never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unless it blew itself up.
Great.
Right, okay, so what's next on the list? Cannon?
Yeah, classic cannons.
Oh, man. Best in the game.
Artillery, the standard cannon rules were 85 points.
They might not know what the standard cannon rules are.
So it has one melee attack, two shots. Each cannon does two shots and can bounce 5 centimetres beyond it. So if a unit in column, each cannon will do 4 dice to it because it will bounce through
each unit's eight.
Yeah, so each unit would hit 8 dice at a unit in column, a standard unit in column, and then 2 units of cannons would do 16 dice to it.
So, which first tip for a newish player, never, ever deploy anything in column against an army of cannon. Because literally the unit will go.
Yeah.
One unit will go per turn, just delete it.
They don't allow armor saves.
It doesn't matter if it's crossbowmen, it could be silverhelms, it could be bloody... Well, not chaos. It could be cold ones. They're all going if those cannons get locked onto them in column.
Sadly.
So we set up in line. I did it. I practice what I preach. And the whole game is focused on you minimising the impact of the cannons. Because over a 6-turn game, they will do a lot of work left unmolested.
Because they don't... That's the thing, is they don't... In War Master, you don't have normally a turn limit. And they don't run out of ammunition. So you just keep firing. And if you have the range of the game, so if I've got artillery and he doesn't, or my artillery outranges his artillery or something, then you just are punching them and getting nothing back.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It is. So look at the high elves have eagles. Yeah. Eagles are there to try and limit the cannons, which they did to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But cannons, the only thing better are dwarf cannons, I guess, because they've got a bit of armour.
That's it. But it's very different.
Cannons are phenomenal. There's only 2 lists in the game have access to proper cannons. It's these and dwarfs.
Yeah, and Dogs of War have a light.
When have you ever used a Galloper gun successfully?
It's hard to use them successfully.
I'll put it at 40.
It's true.
That's so hard to
true.
Use.
It's damn true.
So hard to use, the stupid things.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next? Cannons, very good.
Steam tanks.
Cannons get an A+.
Yeah, so this is the biggest change in the Revolution, like the army list. So your steam tank is 3 hits and 3 ranged attacks, has 4 hits, has a 3-up armour, has 130 points. Now, the way it's changed is that all the rules are the same, except from it can't be driven back now. So that means it is not automatically destroyed when it's pushed back.
Because what used to happen is you deal with a steam tank by charging it with a brigade of infantry, it loses on Static Combat Revolution, and it dies.
Yeah.
But now that doesn't happen. Now this thing is a menace.
You still, obviously, it doesn't push back, but you still fight more rounds of combat. You just don't physically go anywhere.
What Paul was doing is just stuffing it, so it's like, this is your initiative charge target. This is it.
Yeah,
Silver Helms, come on.
That is its ideal tactic. It's perfect against enemy cavalry, and chariots even better, because they have less armour.
So today...
Because it counts as defended when it's charged.
Multiple times, I charged it in the front and the flank, and I even put a dragon hero in. Yeah. So I did... Because it's defended, so you're only doing like... I think I did 15, 20 attacks.
Yep.
So that's 5, 20 attacks. Hitting on 5, so that's about 6.5.
Yep.
And then it's got 3-up armour.
Yep.
So I did like a wound.
Yep. Yep.
And then it did 1 back, and it's a draw.
Yep.
And then another time I charged it, I did none.
Yep.
And it did 2 back.
Because especially what plays so well into it is the fact that there's 2 rounds of combat in Revolution. Is this just great at just holding something down? So it's a lot of points for what it is. You want to use.
There's something going on outside. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Will you talk about it, Barry? No. I'll just check.
It might be your house.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're back in the room. It's a little bit noisy because there's something going on next door. Is there anything exciting going on? Are they just drilling?
Drilling, cleaning up.
Mm. Oh, like. It's like the window cleaner or something, then?
I don't know. Barry, it doesn't matter.
It matters to me. Mm-hmm. I've got to know. Right, so we were talking about the steam tank?
Yes. You like them.
Do you not like them?
No, I do. It's to say, it's...
What was their role previously?
They didn't have a role because they weren't viable pieces. But now
what's their role?
It's to break up cavalry charges. To be the initial... So against the opponent's army that has living cavalry, so not undead, and chariots, you want it to be faced off against your steam tank. So it will slow them down massively. and it'll stay, it'll keep in the fight statistically really nicely, and allows you that time to put more shots into them.
So unless you spike your dice, you ain't getting rid of this thing.
Not really, no. I mean, it can be terrifying. I mean, you could theoretically get it in the flank and...
I did.
Yeah, and with a terror causer. But it's unlikely to go away in two rounds of combat.
No, and it can't be hurt like a monster.
Yeah.
So you've got to do four wounds.
Yeah. Keep going. Keep three up armour saves. Space Marine saves for the win.
Three up armour, yeah, yeah. So I liked it a lot. The only thing I can even think of that could do anything towards it is like a cannon.
Yeah.
Because it ignores defended.
Yeah, that would be...
Ignores
delete,
defended.
Delete. Like,
here's my 16 dice. Yeah, I need four to hit.
Batch. Gone. Yeah. That, so, there's... I mean, it's...
There like, is a counter, but only for two armies.
Yeah. And the thing is, the way I would do it is if you want to catch it with a good infantry brigade, and you'll win all the fights with support, but you've got to forget about those two infantry units for a while because they've got to slowly grind the steam tank away.
So I was trying all my usual toolbox. I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll put flyers behind it and just win combat by one. It doesn't move.
It doesn't move.
So it's like, God damn you, Mr. Steam Tank.
Yep.
So I like it. I'll be running my Empire list with two of them.
I think two might be too much points drain.
Yeah, I'll just lose the pistoliers. I'm not so attached to them as you are.
All right, well, we'll see that build.
I've got two, so I might as well use
them. We'll see that build when it comes up. That is another build of Steam. Anyway.
But I like them. Well done on the process that invented them, because now they're viable.
Yes. That includes all the War Master Revolution changes of the army list. Then they've got the standard character set up, a Command 9 general, Command 8 heroes, a Command 7 wizard.
But he's cheap.
Yeah, he's cheap because he's Command 7, 45 points. They have a special, a Griffin monster, a plus 2 attack monster flying terror.
For 60?
For 80, which is standard.
Well, because he's flying. 60
is plus 1.
Yeah, 65. Yeah,
And a War Altar, which is basically a 15 point magic item, giving you a plus 1 to cast for once. Yeah, you could stack that with a magic item. Yeah, it's a difference. A War Altar is a character mount for a champion.
Oh, okay. So it's interesting you don't choose to do that with the old ring and magic.
No, exactly.
I
mean, there are the Empire list is a lovely list. There are some different builds you can try. Yeah, you know, like you can, and I'll explain my build when I come onto it, what it doesn't have. And the Empire spell list back from is exactly a... Yeah, he's untouched. Like, we've not messed
but
with it.
But tell them, because people might not go back and listen to episode 2.
The only thing they did, Revolution did change, was just clarification on weird enchantment and voice commands, yeah.
Okay, go on then.
So, your Ball of Flame is your standard. Your 30 is the two types of magic missile in the game. There's the straight line one, which does 3 attacks, but allows...
So, 30 centimetres, yeah.
And that's what Ball of Flame is. Voice of Command is your standard movement spell.
Very good.
But you can't have a supporting charge with it, naturally. Like,
your wizard doesn't have to go with it.
No, it's a better one because it's cast remotely rather than in the unit.
In the same way as Bretonian.
Yep. Weird Enchantment is a lovely little spell for making the opponent's unit go at half pace move, which can mean everything can be two orders instead of one to attack you back, and also makes it you cause terror.
Like everything you cause
unless
terror.
Unless your target's undead and demons, etc. So it just suffers from terror. Yeah, that unit. And Teleport. Now, that's the thing. Is Teleport is a nothing spell, in a sense. It's a 2-up to cast, then you just move the wizard.
But you get to cast another spell.
Yes, you do. But it's not exactly characters are, like, slow to move anyway. I don't know. It's like, to me, Teleport is just not... When we come round to, like, at some point in the future, I'm guessing, once we... Because at the moment, with our rules committee, we're just trying to finish off the last four armies. But that doesn't mean the process
so
is...
So, Teleport, is anyone on the battlefield?
Is anyone on the battlefield?
Yeah, but you just got to exploit it. He's over here, he's over there, he's everywhere.
Doesn't really matter in War Master, does it?
Well, you can only order 20, can't he? So you can cast his spell and...
I suppose, maybe.
Anyway. Or you can teleport into the enemy line, turn one, and ball a flame them all off the edge of the pitch.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, like, it's something to question, like, because you don't want to... There is no, I think, spell list in the game which has all four spells which are fantastic, like, all have a situation to cast, personally.
I think it would be more useful if you could teleport after casting a spell successfully. Move forward, ball of flame, and then teleport back.
Yeah.
Because teleporting up, you do your ball of flame, then you're dead.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's why you never do it. So, that'd be interesting. So, and it's a risk, so if you fail that cast teleport...
You're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. You're moving
over.
We
could ring and magic the ball of flame and teleport back on a 2-up.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah.
Well, maybe one day.
Maybe one day. No, no rush to that. Better to, the priority is to finish the other arms.
But they're not short of a spell list.
No, it's very good. It's just, you know, it's a small thing amongst it all. So that is the Empire. So I say, just to recap the changes, there's handgunners getting up, you know, can be your core choices.
For a 10-point upgrade.
So that's a buff.
Crossbowmen. Yeah.
Skirmishes can't go with flagellants, that's a debuff.
Well.
But, yeah, but it is. Right,
okay.
It is
right.
Steam tank being much
awesome.
More improved. Massive buff.
Steam tank being all kinds of awesome.
Hellblaster not having as bad a misfire chart. Massive buff. Well big buff.
Good.
But makes it viable.
Viable buff.
And that's everything. Aside, yeah, that's all the changes that... The individual changes that went on the Empire.
Okay, so next game, we'll do another army list.
Yeah.
I'll use Empire. I'll bring my Empire. I might need to borrow a few bits
yep.
of paint and stuff to go to flesh it out. Mm-hmm. I'll have a completely different build to Paul,
right,
obviously.
Enough.
I'll have like a full artillery brigade.
Should I talk about my build?
Yeah, let's do that.
So the build that I went for this game and Brodder's game, and I'm explaining why, is you go for 6 halberdiers. The reason, 6 halberdiers, 2 handgunners, 3 crossbowmen, 2 flagellants, 4 skirmishers, 3 knights, 2 pistoliers, hellblaster, 2 cannons, a steam tank, and a general, a hero, 2 wizards, 1 with a ring of magic. The brigades are set up like so. You have 4 units of halberdiers with skirmishers in front. So you have your infantry unit.
Anvil,
your best you've got, basically.
Yeah.
You don't have 5 up armour infantry, you have 6. And this is what it is. Then you have a brigade of 2 handgunners and with 2 flagellants backing them up. Behind them.
That was nice.
Yeah, you know, and then a brigade of 2 crossbowmen with 2 halberdiers backing them up, so less effective than the other one. Yeah, you know, and then you have your artillery brigade is your 2 units of cannons with a hellblaster, and I like to have a unit of crossbowmen there instead of finding 5 points to make a second hellblaster, just because crossbowmen can give combat res. You know, like
yeah,
sometimes
yeah,
it's
yeah,
needed.
Yeah.
That's a brigade of 4. Your steam tank obviously has to operate on its own. You know, because it's can't. Brigade or anything, then that leaves you with your counterpunch of 3 knights and your scouting force of 2 pistoliers, which are in 2 separate
games. And then you had a minimal character build for you.
Yeah,
but that's because of Revolution. Because those wizards failing on a 7 isn't a bad
thing. Exactly. Now, what that list doesn't have is it doesn't have the Griffin mount in it, flying terror character, which is, you know, it doesn't have a combat character, and it doesn't have the war altar, so it's not. I've not overpaid on points like to try and get. I mean, it's something to try, but it just doesn't have it. Doesn't have it in. And it doesn't have an overabundance of knights either. Like, only 3 units of knights. There's no brigade of 4 knights. There's no, obviously, brigade. There's no 8 knights in the list or some Barry's stupid
10 knights! 10 knights!
So it's not skewed the knights in any way either. I mean, you could save some points by dropping the flagellants completely, replacing them with halberdiers.
They do have a role, though.
They do have a role. But if you did that, you'd save only 30 points.
But they can't be used defensively.
No, 50 points overall, yeah.
Because you just get drawn out.
So what I found is because like if they were front row guys, they'd be drawn out on a charge they didn't like and get beaten
to death.
And so having them second wave to missile troops is an interesting option. Something you try. Yeah, the Empire list is very strong because it has a lot of different builds in it. You know, you can think of different. I haven't tried to focus totally on cavalry. Like, you drop cannons and take more cavalry.
No, never. Heresy.
But
heresy.
You could try 2 steam tanks. You could try, you know, there's other builds to have. You could try loading up some magic items. Like, they're an army that can, that's got a place for a lot of the magic items in the game. You know, it's lovely. So no, it's a reason I really like the Empire list. It's the core vanilla flavour.
Yeah, it's like dwarves with knights. Not quite dwarves. Right, so talk about your game last night, and then we'll probably have to do it because there's quite a lot of noise outside.
So the game last night was against Rodder's Beastmen, using the rules that I envision how we're trying to get the Beastmen army to go, but we won't talk about that. But anyway, and we played Taken Hold, so it had objectives, and I got the first turn. I got ahead on the central objective, which was nice, with my core infantry brigade.
Oh, so you're playing Winter Roller,
yeah.
The Taken Hold.
So I had the central objective nice, and I was scoring on it. That's lovely. And then So that was pushing me ahead. But I sent my knights off on like, right, now I'm going to put the fight in front of where I'm scoring.
Yeah.
You know, and I sent my knights in a nice glorious charge, which they got off quite nicely. Rubber lance syndrome massively. Like, they ended up only dealing with one unit of beastmen and all dying. And I was like, ugh, you know, like, they really needed to do better. Anyway, so that put me on the kind of defensive. And the Beastman army was like, with those core rules in of the Beastman army, it's a really nice army, actually. They play like the Germanic hordes, kind of.
Right.
Yeah, it was good.
Did he have maximum Bestigors, like four units of those bad boys?
I don't know if he had. I don't know off the top of my head, because.
Yeah, that'd be my first four.
Anyway,
units.
So I was overall attrition wise, I was like, I'm not going to out attrition him, because he had a breakpoint of 14 to my 11. And I was like, right, okay, I'm going to try for the scenario. And I was at four. You need six to win. At four, I was like, I'm going to try and sneak forward to both his flank scenario, blank objectives. He stopped me with one, with beastmen ambushing out of the wood that I was going for. And I was like, and that's the problem with Empire infantry. It just like it got round the flank, and I was like, damn it, I can't actually assault this now.
No, I'm going to lose.
Yeah, I'm going to lose. So that's not good. But on the other side, I managed to sneak my steam tank through his lines and sit on his left-hand objective, and that allowed me to win.
Oh my god, I've just thought something. What? You can't get that off an objective
without
killing it.
It's hard.
You're going to kill it. Oh no.
Yeah, it's a good one for that. So I got it.
I'm not going to kill it.
Kill it.
I don't have cannon.
Hit it with something.
So, it's a scoring every turn.
Yeah. So it got onto his left-hand side one, won me the game. But it was good that it did when it happened, because Rodders would have automatically won in his next turn, because he'd beaten me back off the central one and taken my unguarded right flank, because my stuff had gone forward. So his ambushing unit came up behind one of his brigades, came up behind mine, and just came on and took the objective. And I was like, well, you can do that, can you? Damn it. You know?
So how did you protect your cannons
in that game?
Against the ambushers?
Oh, quite. That was okay. I mean, like, he never tried to make a play for them, actually.
Ooh, that's what. Yeah. I'd be drooling thinking of
the cannons opposite his left had mashed a lot of his units, and that allowed the steam tank to sneak its way through and sit and score. I had to use a voice of command spell to get him in.
I
did a 5-up to win the game and got it. Yeah, but it was a really tight game. So I won that one, and then this one you'll watch the podcast about.
I'm going to
watch the battle report about.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, objective-based play is the next level, because not everybody uses our tournament pack. Yeah. But if you're using a tournament... Steam tanks holding objectives are a thing, man. What are you going to get them off with? If two units of silver elves and a dragon couldn't do any damage to them...
Yeah, but they are... I'd say, Barry, they're the wrong troops.
But what's the right troop?
Infantry. Blocks of infantry.
I've got to move him. He only moves when he dies.
Because they'll consistently... Eventually... Because you can make it so he's rolling very few dice.
Yeah.
And you just keep piling attacks into him. And
well,
sooner
you're only
or later
doing three attacks, aren't you? And he's defended.
No, you've got to get a brigade of infantry on his flank. And then you've got three of your stands fighting.
So nine.
Yeah. And that will eventually tell. And because you'll win by all every time on combat res.
Nine.
Two units of infantry. Two units of high elf spearmen will beat the steam tank.
I'm not sure. I think you're deluded.
No, they won't do it straight away, but they will beat it. They will beat it easily. And they'll take nothing back. It's true.
They kept winning the combat.
Well, that's because it was. You had the wrong troops for the job there.
Okay. Well, interesting. It was certainly much better than I never feared it previously. I just like, go away.
Forget about
time.
It. But I mean, I've played quite a bit with Empire, and I mean, you know, like, and sort of pioneering how to use this steam tank. It's like what I never pursue with it. And that's not its job. Like it wins around a comp. Yeah. No.
You've got to
hold him back. Hold it back.
If you've got no damage on it, ties him up.
It's much better used as the initiative option.
But it could be initiative for the other guys behind it.
Anyway, we'll see. We're going around in circles now.
Yeah. Like the steam tank. Never do it. It's just chewing around his little.
So, plan for the podcast is we've had some comments back that our earlier episodes when we were focusing on armies was obviously more focus, which is fair enough. And that's what we'll be doing. Will we go? Because now that the Warmaster Revolution armies are pretty much done, we'll be going through them and talking about and doing them and playing them and using them. Yeah.
I think we're to the stage where there are maybe 19 done or nearly done and four to be finished.
Of those four, there's only two which...
One
real issue and a half, isn't it, really? Like, yeah, Norse are pretty much squared away.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so that was our fantastic Warmonster podcast.
Also, I'm 60. I've started doing a Chaos Dwarf army picking together. So at some point, we'll talk about the models I'm using for that and how I'm building a Chaos Dwarf army.
So what we'll do is I'll have army review kind of sessions, and then alternative to that, we'll have some more random, spurious drivel.
Hobby stuff. I hope you enjoy the YouTube battle report.
Yeah, that was the main focus for today. Yeah. So if you get the chance to watch it. Tell us where we went wrong.
Yeah.
All the cheating we did.
Probably.
Probably. But we do play relatively quickly, so sometimes things get missed. And we don't tend to look at the rule book. We kind of.
No, we didn't look at it once there, I think.
Or the game before.
Rules, schmools.
Okay, so have a good week, or 2 weeks, and we'll see you after half-term.